I have an app on my cell phone that keeps me connected to the local news in Houston, ABC 13. And I have come to cringe every time I get an alert for some breaking news story, because it's always bad news. It's a report of some shooting somewhere in the city, or a fatal accident on one of the freeways, or any story about the election coming up in November. Just bad news. Aren't you glad we can come together and talk about the good news tonight? All that'll be out there when we're done. It'll still be there. But this is our haven for a little while, where we can just think about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's that good news that I know has brought you here to honor and glorify God, and to encourage a church that's worked hard for this meeting. To our visitors, we thank you for being here. Some special friends, Todd and Karen, who are in the audience. And what a blessing they are to my life and to the kingdom. And to those who have come to help and hold up the hands of the members here, just know you've encouraged me by your presence tonight and your love for the good news. So what we started yesterday was a study of people, remember, who are just like us. According to James 5 and verse 17, they have a nature like ours. People in the Bible that we might be tempted to hold up on a pedestal as if they were superheroes. No, they're of the same nature. They're humans just like we are. And that means we can, through the power and the glory of God, accomplish things in His kingdom just as they did. What if I were to tell you tonight that I was going to preach about a famous Joseph in the Bible? You might think, oh, well, that could be the favorite son of Jacob, or it might be the father of Jesus, the husband of Mary. But the Joseph I want us to consider tonight is found in Acts chapter 4, the end of Acts 4, and I want to invite your attention to that opening to read the last two verses of the chapter. Acts chapter 4. Verses 36 and 37. And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So his given name was Joseph. But he is better known to us by his nickname, Barnabas, which the text tells us is translated son of encouragement. Now, a lot of people have nicknames, and most people want to ask me, is Bubba your real name? To which I always tell them the same answer. None of your business. No, I don't tell them that. But Barnabas, because they'll say, well, you don't look like a Bubba. Well, Barnabas did look like a Barnabas. Because when the apostles saw his life and saw the things that he did and the kind of character he was, they called him the son of encouragement, or this is how we would say it, Joseph is Mr. Encouragement. It's who he is. You can just see it coming out of his person. That tells us that even in the first century church, there were people who needed to be encouraged. You see, one of the things that discouragement does among God's people is it makes us feel isolated. Makes us feel like, what's wrong with me and my faith? Why am I feeling this way? Because I come to a church And I see people, and they don't seem to have those problems. I mean, they have a marriage. I bet they don't ever have any disagreements. And I bet their kids never misbehave. And they don't ever have financial trouble. They don't stay up at night worrying about this or that. Why is this just me? Well, I want you to see that even in the first century, there was a person who needed to encourage his fellow disciples, lest they be discouraged. Whether it was Moses in the desert or Elijah under the juniper tree, or it's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, lowered into the pit, God's people through the ages have dealt with discouragement. And what we need are Barnabases of all sorts, men, women, young and old alike in the Lord's church, who will be encouragers. Now, I want to make certain that we're differentiating tonight between discouragement and depression or anxiety or panic attacks. Those are mental illnesses. And mental illnesses are not dealt with as if to say, well, you just need to have faith, or you need to pray about that. Because we wouldn't say that to somebody who had a physical illness. I know you have a broken arm, but if you'll just pray about it, it'll get better. No, we would direct them to get help, whether that's some kind of counseling or medication. So we're not talking tonight about mental health and depression. We're talking about what the Bible describes as somebody who has lost heart. It's what encourage is. It's the Latin word cor for heart. And so you're putting heart back in them. What I want you to see is that it takes courage to encourage someone. This isn't just showing up and saying, attaboy, good job, way to go. It's going to take courage. And that's where we see Barnabas and us. So we will have courage to encourage. What if somebody were to give you a nickname about your spiritual health? What would they choose? Remember, for Joseph, they said, he's an encourager, Mr. Encouragement, son of encouragement. What would somebody choose for you as a nickname that summarized your spiritual character? Would they choose son of joy or son of complaint? Son of faith or son of doubt? Son of light or son of darkness? Son of peace or son of strife? For Joseph, son of encouragement. So let's talk tonight about the courage that's required to be an encourager in the kingdom of the Lord. And we see that unfolding in the various episodes of Barnabas in the book of Acts. First, here in Acts 4, I want you to see, number one, it takes courage to give when it's safer just to hold on to what you have. So our first introduction to Barnabas is someone who is giving to satisfy a need in the Jerusalem church. Remember, this is the very infancy of God's people, and they've had great success with 3,000 being baptized on the day of Pentecost, but now there's been persecution. Peter and John have been commanded, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And now there must be among the Jewish people those who have been kicked out of their families, or maybe they've been ostracized in the community. People won't do business with them, and they have financial needs. And so the church, the people start to sell their own property. And there we see Barnabas doing that in verse 37. He owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want to remind you, these were uncertain times of Christianity. They didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold. They didn't know how far the persecution would go. But I want you to appreciate the courage of Barnabas to give when it would have been much easier. Let's wait and see. Let's see how this shakes out. Let's see how far this goes. Did you notice in verse 36 that he was a Levite? And what that meant was, in Judaism, he had his place. And he was taken care of by the law of Moses to perform his duties in the tabernacle, to help serve the people. And he would be provided for. And he left that. He left that because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And now he's the one who is giving and encouraging others. It takes courage to encourage. And sometimes it's going to be just through the act of giving. You know, giving is what we do when we worship. On the first day of the week, it's not just that we're making a donation. And certainly the money is being used to support the preaching of the gospel and to carry out the work of the church. I don't mean that. But that's not why we give. We give out of faith in God and thanks to Him from whom the blessing has come. And we do so not wanting to just hold on to it because we're not sure whether or not we're going to be blessed. No, we give in confidence He will continue to bless us. And next week, He'll bless us with our bread again. And so giving in itself takes courage to believe that God will continue to bless us. When you think about your spiritual life, are you all take and no give? Sometimes people will leave the local church and they'll say things like, "We're not getting what we need here." You ever heard that? But the question needs to be, how much are you giving? It takes courage to give. And do you know what happens when you give? You give of yourself and you give of your means and you give of your talents and your time. It encourages people. And it makes them want to give. And that's what Barnabas did. It takes courage to give when the safer thing is just to hold on. Because I'm well aware, we're in uncertain times. And we don't know what's coming down the road and what kind of persecution we're going to have to endure because of our faith in Jesus Christ. But we're going to continue to trust in the Lord. He'll provide. And I'm going to give of what He's blessed me and share that and put courage and heart in my fellow disciples, Barnabas and us. The second time we find Barnabas is in Acts chapter 9, Acts the 9th chapter. And this is after a great persecution has come and the saints have had to flee from the city of Jerusalem. And having been caught up in the persecution of Saul of Tarsus, he then becomes a Christian and returns to Jerusalem. In verse 26, When he, that is Saul, had come to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Now you can imagine that. And I understand that. They were skeptical of this person who had been the most relenting opponent of the gospel. Remember that Saul was not satisfied with Christians leaving Jerusalem. He got papers from the high priest to go after him in Damascus and bring him back. And there they would have gone to trial and probably some executed. When he tells of his former days in Acts 26, he said about these Christians, listen to it, I tried to force them to blaspheme. So they were holding on to their conviction, and he was trying to force them to denounce their faith in Jesus. He had to live with that. But now he's become a Christian, and he's wanting to come and be a part of our assembly. And there were people who held him at arm's length and said, this could be his latest ploy. He might be trying to get among us, and then he's going to turn on us and turn us in. Look at verse 27. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had boldly spoken in the name of Jesus. It takes courage, number two, to speak when others are being silent. I want you to see that Barnabas took a risk here in what he did. Because if Saul had gone bad, now Barnabas has also put his name and reputation on the line. But remember, when you're the son of encouragement, you're not thinking about that. You're thinking about your brother. How can I put heart into him so that he'll continue to speak out boldly in the name of Jesus? Have you ever thought about what might have happened to Saul if he had become discouraged by the way he was treated by his brethren? We've seen that before. Well, if that's the way Christians behave, I don't want to be a part of that. If that's the way they're going to treat me, I don't want to be in this church. How differently would the first century have played out in our own New Testaments that we read? Had Barnabas not had courage to give courage? This is not a lesson on being gullible, throwing all caution to the wind, and not exercising safety. I don't mean that at all. Ronald Reagan had a sign on his desk in the Oval Office that said, trust, but verify. It's okay to verify, but with our brethren, shouldn't our first response be trust? A few years ago, we sent our daughter off to Florida College. And the hardest thing I ever did was driving away from that campus with seeing her in the rearview mirror. But, you know, with technology, you have a way of keeping track with your kids. And we have this app on all our phones, Life 360. And so you can always tell where they are. And if they're traveling, you can tell how fast they're traveling. And I was looking on there one day, and I saw Morgan Garner going 90 miles an hour down I-4 in Tampa. And I fired off a text I said, if I see, I screenshotted it, and I said, if I see this again on this app, I'm coming down there personally to take away the car, exclamation point, sin. And the reply came, I'm not driving, Dad. I'm riding with someone. I can't control how fast they're going. See, I didn't trust. I just reacted. I didn't have the facts. Don't our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ deserve our trust? That's how we put courage in them. We say, I believe you. I trust you. Why would I doubt that you're not telling me the truth? Now, it may come out that they didn't. And that's where we verify. But our first response should be to trust. We learned that from Barnabas. And this apostle, who, remember, he took Saul to the apostles and told them how he had seen what Saul had done. And so later this apostle writes about his fellow apostle Peter, calls him our beloved brother Paul, 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. Takes courage to encourage. So speak, even when others are being silent. In Acts 11th chapter, we find Barnabas now in the city of Antioch. Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. So here we have a group of people who are not just Jews, but Greeks also, Gentiles, who are hearing the gospel and believing in the city of Antioch. And the word reaches the ears of the apostles in Jerusalem. And they decide, we need to send somebody up there to help with this new work. We need to send somebody who loves people and is not going to care about Jew or Gentile and who loves the Lord. I wonder who we can send. Who would be qualified to go? Verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Mr. Encouragement. And when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Did you notice he began to encourage them all? For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. We need somebody who loves people, who's going to encourage. Well, number three, it takes courage to go when you'd rather just stay where you are. He was a member of the church in Jerusalem, and great good was being accomplished there. And he was among all the apostles who stayed in Jerusalem. And he could have been very comfortable there. But he saw this new group of Christians who needed courage, who needed resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And so he went to give courage. But I want you to notice it took courage for him to do so. There have been times in my life where I have been given opportunities that were uncomfortable for me. And I knew would require things from me that were not easy. And I must say with great shame, I have refused those for that very reason. Because I knew where I was and I liked where I was. And I thought it's just easy to stay here. But one year I was going to be gone for a meeting and needed somebody to teach my class. And so I called up one of our deacons and asked if he would teach for me that Sunday. And little did I know that I had just asked the world's most avid deer hunter to teach class on opening weekend of deer season. And he always took one of his sons with him to go hunting on the deer lease, and they'd worship at a little country church out there and then come back. And so he turned me down. He said, "No, I got this trip planned." And we had barely hung up the phone, and the phone rang again, and it was him. And he said, "You know, I need to be teaching more." He said, "That'd be good for me. Put me down." Now, his son still hasn't spoken to me to this day. But you know what that did is that put courage in me. And that made me relevant. You know, I need to be doing that. Barnabas left a place where he was comfortable and was certain, and now went off to Antioch among Jews and Gentiles. And did you notice the result of his courage? Considerable numbers were brought to the Lord because he put courage in his fellow disciples. It takes courage to go when you'd rather just stay where you are. It's kind of like with Peter and the walking on the water. You know, we talk about how he failed. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He sank in the water and Jesus had to come and save him. But you know what Peter did first? He got out of the boat. They were all afraid in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. And they see Jesus walking on the water. And it was Peter who said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." You see, everything the master did, that's what the disciples wanted to do. And if Jesus is walking on the water, I want to be like my master. And Jesus said, "Come." And he got out of the boat. Maybe we're missing opportunities and maybe we're not failing because we're not even trying. It takes courage to encourage. There'll be challenges, but these will present opportunities. And when you go, you grow. It takes courage to go when I think I'll just stay where I am. Barnabas and us. And then finally, Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. You visitors came on a rare occasion where I have 4 points in a sermon, but this is it. Acts chapter 15, Verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, also with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So this is after the first journey. And now the decision is made. We need to go back through, visit all those cities where we established churches, and see how the brethren do. Encourage them. And on that first journey, we're told in Acts chapter 13 and verse 13 that John Mark, who was also on the trip, left them. And we're not given any reason as to why he left. We don't know if he got sick, if he became afraid, if he just changed his mind, didn't want to do the work. It just says that he left. And so now when they're getting ready to go on the second trip, Barnabas says, "Let's take John Mark. Let's give him another shot." And we later learn in Colossians that Barnabas and John Mark were cousins. But Paul was just as adamant that he not go. "We're not going to take someone who deserted us the first time around." And the scripture says there came in verse 39 a sharp disagreement. Now, I want to make sure we understand that the disagreement here was not truth versus error or right versus wrong. This was a matter of personal judgment. Should John Mark go with us or not? Barnabas said yes, and Paul said no. And so they couldn't agree. And because of that, notice what happened. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Now, Cyprus was where the first tour began. They left from Antioch and went to Cyprus. And verse 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So Paul and Silas went further into the first trip on those cities, and they were able to cover the same cities, but with two separate tours. So they split up the cities, and they said, "We'll still go preach the gospel. We'll still go and proclaim the good news." They didn't become enemies of one another. They didn't try to sabotage the other tour. They just said, "We'll do twice the work in half the time." Later on, in his final epistle that he wrote, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as he was writing from this prison cell, caught up in the persecution brought on by Nero that would eventually take his life. Paul wrote these words in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." So Paul came back around with regard to John Mark. He became useful. But the point I want to make is, did John Mark become useful again because Barnabas put courage in him? Said, "I believe you. You can still do good. you can do better. And so number four, it takes courage to stand when no one else will. There are going to be disagreements among God's people, and sometimes they'll be sharp ones. How are we going to treat one another? How are we going to behave and act our best? What good does it do if we, in our disagreement, then lose our temper and sin against our brother or our sister? What good have we accomplished if instead of trying to work out the sharp disagreement, we tell everybody else about what's happened? Instead of going to the brother or sister, we go to Facebook or social media or everybody else. It takes courage to encourage. And our thought should always be, how can I make my brother or sister useful to the Lord? Useful for service in the kingdom. When both parties act the way they ought to, God is able to bring about twice as good in the kingdom. Remember, it takes courage to put courage in and to stand when no one else will. Barnabas and us. I want to look at one final passage in Romans chapter 12. Romans, the 12th chapter. As Paul speaks of the different gifts that are given among the members of the body in the local church, starting with verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So the temptation is for people to think that their gift or their ability from God is more important than everyone else, and so they think more highly than they ought to think. But do you know what the danger is that is just as detrimental to the kingdom and the local church especially? Is to think lower than you ought to think. To think my gift doesn't matter. It's not as essential. It doesn't make a difference. And so look what he says in verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, which is teaching according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his service, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Did you notice God puts at the same level as prophecy and teaching and serving exhortation? Well, what is exhortation? That's the same word for encouragement, consolation. Being an encourager in the kingdom of God is as essential as the one who teaches the Word of God. They all make the body stronger. Be a Barnabas. It takes courage to encourage. And what gives us the greatest courage of all is when Jesus said, "I've overcome the world. Be of good courage. Do not fear." And he's equipping and giving us opportunities to encourage one another with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Barnabas and us. It could be tonight that you're discouraged and have lost heart. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And what that is an opportunity for you to make that known so you don't have to feel alone and isolated. But through the prayers and encouragement of your brothers and sisters, have heart again. If you're downtrodden because of sin, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You'll have rest for your souls, because by confessing your faith in him and repenting of your sins and being baptized, you can have new life. And through that new life,